This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know that feeling when you have something that's really been bothering you, or when you've been fixating on something in your life that's looming large in your mind? We all carry around different stressors in our lives, big and small, and I think we inherently know that when we keep them bottled up inside, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest, and to figure out how to work through whatever it is that's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for people who have experienced major trauma. There are plenty of benefits it can have for everyone. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. And don't underestimate the power of boundaries either. Those are super important. If you've been wondering if you should give therapy a try, check out BetterHelp. It's a fully online experience and designed from the ground up to be convenient and customizable to your schedule. To get started, you just have to fill out a brief questionnaire that will match you up with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no extra charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/filmdaily today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/filmdaily. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily for Thursday, May 6th, 2021. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about the latest film and TV news. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm the senior writer at SlashFilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film weekend editor Brad Oman.
Hey, that's me.
And writers Y Trampui.
Hey, everyone.
And Chris Evangelista.
Hi.
All right, so let's jump into the news, guys. Chris, the Red Sonja movie, which has been in development for I don't even remember how long, but a very long time, has finally found a star. Who is going to be in this movie?
Yeah, it's been in development since at least 2008, and it's gone through multiple directors and multiple Red Sonjas. And now Hannah John-Kamen, who was in Ant-Man and the Wasp, and she was also in Ready Player One, and she's also in the upcoming Resident Evil movie, is going to star as Red Sonja. So there you have it. Of course, we've been here before, and this could always fall apart, but as of now, that's what's happening.
Well, Chris, as the world's number one Red Sonja fan, what do you make of this casting?
When I read this news, I clutched my Red Sonja doll, and I looked up at my Red Sonja poster, and I said, finally, the prophecy has been fulfilled.
Somebody can finally follow in the footsteps of, was it Brigitte Nielsen?
Is yes. That okay, at well. Long last, Red Sonja is happening, I said. And I called my mom, and then I called all my relatives, and we all started crying.
I'm glad that Hannah John-Kamen has this job. I mean, I got a chance to interview her on the set of Ant-Man and the Wasp, and she seemed like a very nice person. So hopefully this movie finally happens in this form. I know that, like you said, I'd gone through a ton of different directors and stuff. So I wonder if there is somebody like that out there, Chris, somebody who has been, you know, a Red Sonja fan from way back and has just been like tracking this movie over the past decade plus and is just desperately like hoping, fingers crossed, that this one finally makes it to the finish line.
So I'm sure there is someone like that.
Well, if you're listening, person, I wish you the best and good luck and Godspeed. All right, Brad, let's go to you. The Paramount Plus, the new streaming service, has made an announcement about their plans for 2022. What do we know?
Right, so Paramount Plus is still relatively young, technically, in the streaming service game, because even though it's just a rebranded version of CBS All Access, that rebrand came with a big initiative to start churning out a lot more original content, especially when it comes to movies. And so they have a lot of catching up to do when it comes to making movies on the same level as like Netflix or you know, HBO Max or anything like that. And in 2022, they're planning on releasing a new original movie every single week. So that'll definitely start beefing up their library. There aren't any specifics on exactly what the roster of titles will be for these. And it sounds like some of them may end up actually being some of Paramount's own movies that will hit the streaming service 45 days after they hit theaters. It seems like they're kind of considering those originals, even though they're not being produced directly for Paramount Plus, but they also do have a series of movies that are being made specifically for Paramount Plus from the Paramount Players banner, Nickelodeon, Awesomeness, and other Viacom CBS companies. So they have a lot going on. And that's also on top of the fact that this summer they're planning this big, quote, mountain of movies initiative where they're adding another 1,000 movies to their library in June. And by the end of July, they'll have over 2,500 movies as part of their library.
Okay, that's not bad. I'm just thinking about the logistics here, though, Brad, because, you know, even with the Paramount Plus original movies, and if you bring in some of those Paramount movies, you know, like the, I think they talked about Mission Impossible 7 being one of those, Top Gun Maverick being one of those that could end up on that streaming service, you know, like you said, 45 days after they debut in theaters. 52 movies is a lot of movies for companies like that to, you know, for Netflix, they have so much money. They're at the top of the pile, but Paramount as a studio has been like selling off a lot of their stuff to Netflix. So, I mean, what kind of movies are we expecting here? Do you know of like any specific titles that are supposed to be released next year?
I think that what's going to happen here is we're going to end up seeing some movies that Paramount Pictures was intending to release theatrically go straight to Paramount Plus, because coupled with this news, it was also announced that Paramount Plus picked up Infinite, Antoine Fuqua's new sci-fi thriller starring Mark Wahlberg and Chiwetel Ejiofor. It was originally intended to be released, at least in theaters, last year. The pandemic delayed it, and then it was going to get a theatrical release later this year, but they just snagged it for a straight to Paramount Plus release in June. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see either some of the movies that Paramount thinks they won't get a good enough box office return on sent to Paramount Plus, or they'll just decide some of their mid-budget movies and things like that will be better served helping to boost their subscriber base rather mm-hmm. than releasing them in theaters and spending all that money on marketing and stuff.
Gotcha. All right. Well, speaking of streaming services, let's go hop over to the world of Disney Plus. And Chris, tell us about what's going on with Loki, the new Marvel Studios show.
Yes, Loki has shifted to Wednesdays. It was originally going to show up on Disney Plus on Fridays like the previous Marvel Disney Plus shows, but now it's going to air every Wednesday or stream every Wednesday on starting June 9th. And there wasn't a reason given for this, but the likely reason is Disney Plus now has the Star Wars animated series The Bad Batch airing on Friday, so they likely just want to spread their I hate to use this word, but they want to spread their content out.
Yes. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Chris, I'm curious what your thoughts are on Loki. I know you caught up with WandaVision. Have you caught up with Falcon the Winter Soldier yet? Probably not.
No, it just okay. It did not appeal to me.
Yeah, and so what do you think about Loki? Is that one that you're going to check out?
You know, I might check this one out because I did like the trailer and I like the idea of Loki hopping around time and being D.B. Cooper and all that stuff. So I think I will check this one out.
HG, I have to assume that you're, if not full-blown excited, at least interested and curious about Loki. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I'm really interested. I'm not a Loki fangirl, so I'm, you know, not like full-blown excited, but I am really intrigued by the trailer and what we've seen so far. It just, yeah, it seems very experimental and weird and trippy, so I'm all for that.
Brad, do you have any thoughts about this? I know that you've been, I mean, you and Peter typically cover the Star Wars stuff and the Marvel stuff on the podcast. You do deep dives on that. Do you have any other maybe reasons why you think they might be doing this shift to Wednesdays?
No, it seems like that they know that they're, now that they're digging into more Star Wars content, that they're just going to have a crowded schedule. And I feel like they just want to spread out that publicity wave. Just so that the coverage, you know, is not just stacked on top of each other. You know, you want to make sure that the audience can find it, and that because a lot of these episode releases and stuff like that, they're usually coupled with interviews and extra coverage from analysis from the each episode. So you just want to make sure that you're not getting a lot of stuff lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. Chris, on a recent episode of Slash Film Daily, we talked a little bit about a lost film from George A. Romero, and evidently now there is another one that's coming out. Tell me about that.
So the other Romero movie is one that wasn't actually made yet, and that's Twilight of the Dead, but that's a script he was working on when he died, and that's going, in theory, going to be made into a movie now with a different director. But then there is The Amusement Park, which is a movie he made back in the 70s. And he was commissioned by the Lutheran Society to make this movie. And it's technically an industrial film, which is like, I don't know how to describe that. It's sort of like a short that they used to play for companies, or for, in this case, the Lutheran Society. It wasn't really intended to be released as a movie. It's basically like a, you know, a PSA, if you will. Mm-hmm. But because he's George Romero, he made it in his own style, and it's weird and it's creepy, and it's supposed to be, you know, I haven't seen it yet, but it's supposed to be very interesting. And up until now, it was more or less lost, for lack of a better term. But they recently found a print of it, and they restored a print of it, and now that is going to Shudder, the horror streaming service, and that will premiere on June 8th, exclusively on Shudder.
Do we know if there are supposed to be zombies involved in this plot? What's the
no?
The
gist? It's basically about ageism, and it's about an old man like wandering around an amusement park being tormented by. Strange things. There are no zombies, but it's we'll see. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't speak exactly on what it's about, but I'm very excited to check it out.
Well, I mean, and like I think we talked about in the previous episode, Romero is like super closely associated with the zombie genre, but he directed a bunch of other stuff that didn't have anything to do with zombies. Like, not to put you on the spot here, Chris, but off the top of your head, is there, if somebody was trying to explore the filmography, the directorial efforts of George A. Romero, and they wanted to steer clear of zombies, is there like one or two movies that you can think of his that you think people might like that don't have anything to do with zombies at all?
I mean, Creepshow is a great example. Creepshow is wonderful. What else? There's Monkey Shines, which is a really weird movie about this guy who gets paralyzed. A car hits him and he gets paralyzed. And he gets a helper monkey to help him out at home, but
like a helper dog, but a helper monkey. Is that a thing?
Yeah, it is in this movie, okay. But the monkey develops like a psychic bond with this guy and starts seeking revenge for him. Like the guy, like after he gets paralyzed, the guy's wife has an affair with his doctor, who's played by Stanley Tucci. I should add, a very young Stanley Tucci. Wow. And in his rage, the guy inadvertently sends the monkey to kill his wife. It's a very strange movie, but it's interesting. I would recommend checking out Monkey Shines if you haven't seen it.
That sounds incredible. Okay. All right, let's get to our last news item here, which I've kind of was saving what I think might be the best conversation on today's episode for last year. And HT, that is an article that you wrote up about Warner Brothers' new Superman movie. Tell me about that.
Yes, so it was reported a couple months ago that writer Ta-Nehisi Coates was working on a new Superman movie. It was reported that it might be a black Superman movie, and now it's confirmed that this is, in fact, going to star a black actor as the iconic hero, and that this movie is now on the search for a director, a black director specifically. A couple of names that are being floated are Oscar-winning Moonlight director Barry Jenkins, Creed II Stephen Caple Jr., Regina King, who recently made her directorial debut to critical acclaim with One Night in Miami, as well as J.D. Dillard, who helmed Slight and Sweetheart, and Shaka King, who recently is very much in the spotlight now for Judas and the Black Messiah, which earned a Best Picture nomination at the Oscars. So this is... this report comes from The Hollywood Reporter, and they talked to sources that said that Warner Brothers and DC are committed to hiring a black director to tackle what would be the first cinematic incarnation of Superman featuring a black actor. And even though J.J. Abrams is involved as a producer, they are not inclined to have him as director. A couple sources saying that would be tone deaf, which would in fact be the case. So a couple other details come from this report. The Superman movie won't be part of the core DC movie universe. Coates is crafting a new take on Kal-El, which will be in the vein of the original Superman comics, and will have the protagonist hail from Krypton and come to Earth. And it may actually be a 20th century period piece, which would, again, sort of be an homage to the original comics, but this time with a black face at the center, which is interesting. So... there's Ta-Nehisi Coates is still working on the script. He's not expected to deliver it until mid-December, so it's going to be a while till casting goes underway. But the director search is on, and apparently a couple potential directors have already met with Warner Brothers, although they're also apparently being courted across the aisle by Marvel for the Blade movie. So there's a couple of these are in the running for either of those films. But this seems to be in the works and getting rolling.
So, HT, I have to ask you, what do you think about the idea of this being like the actual character of Kal-El instead of, you know, a brand new character that just happens to be Superman in like an alternate universe or something.
I have mixed feelings for it, honestly, because while I have been pretty, you know, pro race bending for a lot of iconic characters because it seemed like a good way to balance the scales and get more representation out there, it feels like a lot of past attempts to do this, you know, race bent take on a character kind of falls flat. And it feels there's been some discussion sort of there's been the discourse about whether this is actually that progressive or not, whether creating new characters and having them be in the spotlight versus trying to do just a black version of a famous character would be more more productive, essentially. And so I'm kind of a mix with this, especially because Warner Brothers doesn't have the greatest track record with diversity, as we've seen with the behind the scenes report for Zack Snyder's Justice League and then what would become Joss Whedon's Justice League, and how they weren't totally sensitive about the depictions of race, and especially with their treatment of Ray Fisher. So it feels like this is kind of them trying to cover their tracks and being like, oh, well, we are progressive. We're going to have a black Superman. And that's great on paper, but I don't really know how it will play out in the end. If they do get one of these directors who are being floated, maybe I would change my mind, because they're all really, really talented. Like a Barry Jenkins Superman, that would be great. Regina King Superman, Chaka King, just like, wow, that would be kind of great. So it depends on what name they get behind this movie.
Yeah. Well, Brad, you covered the superhero beat for the site. Is there a... Well, first of all, what are your thoughts on this? And then secondarily, is there among these potential contenders here, is there one name that jumps out to you as being, you know, more exciting than the rest in terms of who you think might be the best fit for a Superman film like this?
Not exactly, only because, you know, I don't necessarily know what to expect from this kind of Superman and what they're going for, you know? So, like, I'm basically just trusting the process at this point. But I like the idea of them... you know, really expanding just the image of Superman and what Superman, you know, can be, because it's, you know, we've said this time and time again, representation is important, and it's good for people to see, you know, someone who looks like them in these, you know, iconic roles as superheroes. And so, you know, certain fans can cry all day about how, you know, this isn't how Superman is, you know, in the comics. Like, well, these are comic book movies, and movies are being adapted from them, and things can change, and it doesn't change anything about, you know, the meaning of the character to you or anything like that. You know, if it makes it more meaningful to somebody else, then I think that's great. And I hope that it's something where this version of Superman is treated with the same amount of respect. That's not treated as like, oh, well, this is, you know, this isn't the real Superman. You know, I want this to feel like if they were making a full on, you know, new Superman movie. And so I hope that they're able to deliver that.
Mm-hmm. Chris, what do you think about this situation? And do you have a potential favorite in these candidates?
Yeah, I mean, all the points HT raised are pretty much how I feel as well. You know, it's a tricky thing, and I hope they get it right. If I had to pick, you know, I hate this thing where it's like, whenever there's a great director outside of the superhero bubble, the first thought is like, I want them to make a superhero movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like a little knee jerky against that. At the same time, if Barry Jenkins made a Superman movie, it would probably be like the best Superman movie like ever made, and I would fucking watch the hell out of it. So I guess it really depends on, you know, who they get to direct really there, and how it all plays out in the end. I mean, I'm certainly not against this idea in any form, but I'm cautious for pretty much all those reasons HT raised.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, HT, because that's like the idea of, you know, just creating a new character seems seems like preferable almost in some ways, because then you don't have like all the baggage of this thing. But then I can also see it from the other side of like, you know, it's about time and this character is important. It's kind of the same issues that were being brought up in Falcon and Winter Soldier, honestly, like the idea of a black character stepping into that Captain America role. Brad, do you think they're going to be like, I mean, if a black man, even if he's an alien, right, like he's still going to be a black man living in America. So theoretically, I mean, who knows? They could have him be in a different country, but that seems more like, you know, Red Sun or something. I doubt they would do that. So
yeah,
it seems like they'll be treading the same ground, right? Or similar ground.
I mean, I hope so, you know, and like, I want them to tread, you know, a little bit different ground and maybe tackle the subject differently. But, you know, I think there's an opportunity here to create a story that is, different from, you know, the original Superman, because Clark Kent is, you know, he makes himself or Superman makes himself appear as Clark Kent, just this average, you know, white guy who grew up on a farm, happens to be an alien from another planet and has superpowers and doesn't necessarily have to deal with the same struggles that a black man with those same superpowers living in America would have to deal with. And so I hope that there's a way for them to tackle that and do something different with Superman and shake up the formula a little bit so that it feels like it's Superman, but it also comes with a different kind of baggage. And so you can tackle, you know, different thematic elements that allow you to still make the character, you know, meaningful. And I think that if you do something like that, then you don't have to worry as much about the baggage of like the history of Superman, because this is just a new take on Superman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So let's end with a speed round where I'll go around the circle and ask you guys who you think should play Superman. We didn't talk about this beforehand, so I'm totally springing this on you. I have a potential contender in mind. And if you want to pair it with one of the directors that's listed here, you know, somebody who's worked with those filmmakers before, just to mix things up, you could do that. Brad, let's go to you. Do you have anybody in mind? I know Michael B. Jordan is like the one person who has, I think HT wrote in her article that he's denied involvement, but his name has been thrown around. So you can use him if you want, but any other people who maybe come to mind?
I'm going to say Regé Jean Page. He's on the rise right now. He's got a lot of charm, very handsome, very fit dude. And I could easily see him putting on the cape.
Awesome. All right, HT, any favorites or just potential contenders you can think of?
I'm going to say Daniel Kaluuya, directed by Regina King, so that the one reporter who asked him what it was like to be directed by Regina King in the Oscars cute like press conference can now not,
it'll
not
be
wrong, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, I like that. Chris, what about you?
I think Aldis Hodge would be a good pick. He's in really good shape and he's a really good actor. And I would also cheat and say young Denzel Washington gets in a time machine and comes to the future and makes this movie. And that would that be would like, be... like if they had made this, you know, early 90s, Denzel Washington as early 90s Superman, fucking fantastic. It'd be amazing.
Yeah. Only John David Washington had the same charisma that Denzel
Washington had. Yeah, I like him as an actor, but he does not have that same... Like, Denzel Washington is a movie star, basically, and John David Washington is just a really good actor.
Yeah. My pick would be William Jackson Harper for Barry Jenkins, because William Jackson Harper played Chidi on The Good Place, if you don't recognize that name immediately. But he's also worked with Barry Jenkins in the upcoming Amazon show, The Underground Railroad. And I just feel like William Jackson Harper has a little bit of that dorky nerd energy that I feel like would be really good for Clark Kent. He could also get jacked if he needed to and do the superhero thing really well. And like you guys were talking about, you know, a Barry Jenkins directed Superman movie would be incredible. And he is just like one of the most empathetic filmmakers that we have. And I feel like William Jackson Harper has that, that sort of natural charisma, but also this ability to convey empathy on screen that would be like really interesting for a Superman character in a way that we haven't really seen for that character depicted before on screen. So that would be my pick. But I would love it if our listeners have any guesses or you know, fan castings or just any fun suggestions or whatever. You could send us an email and let us know about that. I'd love to hear what you guys are thinking out there. All right, I think that's going to bring us to the end of today's episode of Slash Film Daily. You can find more about all of the stories that we mentioned on today's show at slashfilm.com and linked inside the show notes of this episode. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Google, Overcast, Spotify, all of the popular podcast apps, and send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, Superman suggestions, and mailbag topics to us at peter@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends, spread the word. Thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow.